right to my dude.
Bueno, bueno, bueno.
Yes. 5 seconds before and after.
Do you need a white balance or are you good?
Well, that's enough right there.
Right there?
Yeah. I need to be able to freeze the frame.
Okay.
No clapping necessary. You sit down. Are good to go.
All right. Got a little frog in my throat, so. I don't want to do that whole. Like right when you're like, I know when Corinna was, I was trying not to cough yesterday, like last week, and Corinna's back. I'm like, she just started. I'm going to, what am I going to do? She's like suppressing it. All right. Good morning, church family. My name is Brandon McCaughey. I'm the lead pastor here at High Point Fellowship, and we just want to say welcome. We are so glad you joined us today. And I'd like to begin our time in prayer this morning. So if you would join me in asking the Lord to be in every part of our time in His precious word, we're going to go to Him now and ask Him to do that. I'm starting over because that sounds dumb.
Okay.
Dumb.
Do what you need to do. Finished.
Plus I need to clear my throat again. that was way better. Okay. Good morning, church family. My name is Brandon McCaughey. I am the lead pastor here at High Point Fellowship. We just want to say welcome. We're so glad you're joining us today. And this morning we want to ask the Lord to be in every part of this time in His precious word. So if you would, bow your heads and join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, in You are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of Your word and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of Your wisdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we say, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, we'll ask you, church, to open up to the book of Proverbs. It's back in the Old Testament. If you flip to the middle of your Bible, you'll find the Psalms, and the book of Proverbs is right after that. And while you turn there, I'd like to read you a few verses from 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. It tells us, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. You see, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And the author defines this wisdom as skill for living. The ability to live our lives successfully as followers of Christ. We're beginning today an 8-week series through the book of Proverbs. And our hope is to instill the importance of training ourselves in specific areas of our lives. Because growing in these disciplines as Christians is what matters to God, not only in this present life, but in the life that is to come. Now, have you ever thought about how valuable wisdom is? About how much wisdom really matters? Wisdom has true value in this life, and it's a vastly underrated character trait. Wisdom holds incredibly significant value for when we begin to claim it. Now, wisdom holds some incredibly significant value for life when we begin to claim it. But her value has nothing to do with how much we desire it or how valuable we think it is. Wisdom is something that can belong to both the poor and the wealthy, people of every age, race, class, and status. When you have wisdom, your life is filled with peace and security, and worry and fear fade away. And the more that you spend wisdom, the more wisdom increases. As we go through our series, which we've called What Matters? Everyday Wisdom from the Proverbs, we are going to cover topics that truly matter for our lives. These are difficult topics that require godly wisdom if we're to understand them. And even more so, if we're going to have the skills to live out those things as followers of Jesus. These topics include the way we use our words, humility, obedience, self-control, money, family, marriage. Throughout the entire book of Proverbs, these topics come into view over and over again. And if we're going to be a people that seek to have wisdom in each of these complex areas of life, enough so that we're able to train ourselves in those areas, then we first need to understand what wisdom is and why wisdom really matters to our God. Now, the theme of the book of Proverbs is given to us in the very first few verses of the book. Solomon wrote this book while he was the king of Israel. And his purpose in writing was to instill wisdom into God's people. A wisdom that was grounded in the fear of the Lord. A wisdom that was a practical way for Christians to live and make decisions in everyday situations and in everyday relationships. Most importantly, the book of Proverbs points us to Jesus. We know that Jesus is our King. We know that He's our priest and our Savior. But here in the book of Proverbs, we're going to see Jesus as our mentor. He wants to train us in all wisdom so that we would learn to fear the Lord and live a life that honors Him. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, if you'd follow along with me. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, these first few verses really give us a core truth that is found all throughout God's Word. And that truth is there in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, the kind of fear that Solomon is talking about has nothing to do with the fear of harm or danger, but it's the fear of the Lord that he's talking about. A fear that is described as someone, the fear that is held by someone that's a child of God. This kind of fear flows out of our reverent love that understands that God's grace is towards sinners who trust in Him. It's a kind of fear that recognizes the Lord for who He really is, that understands His characteristics, His love, His kindness, and understands that He is an all-powerful God. C.S. Lewis actually described this kind of love in his book, The Problem of Pain. And he wrote it to help Christians understand what kind of fear we should have towards our God. Listen to what he writes. He says, God's love is not a senile benevolence that drowsily wishes you to be happy in your own way, nor the cold philanthropy of a conscientious magistrate, nor the care of a host who feels responsible for the comfort of his guests. Instead, it is the consuming fire himself, the love that made the worlds, persistent as the artist's love for his work and as despotic as a man's love for a dog, provident and venerable as a father's love for a child, jealous, inexorable, exacting as love between the sexes. You see, this description of God's love is beautiful and rich and biblical. And it doesn't weaken God's love for us into some sort of sappy schoolboy crush. But it reminds us that His power flows out of His love for us. And that His love flows from His inexhaustible power. And for those who have that understanding, that see the love of God in that light, they are the ones that understand the fear of the Lord. And it's to them that God gives the gift of salvation and brings them into His kingdom. And what Psalm is saying here in chapter 1 of Proverbs is that those who reject this kind of understanding of God are fools. Despite being given the incredible gift of the wisdom and understanding of God's love and plan of salvation, such persons are unable to recognize the fullest expression of the Creator's wisdom in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He has been revealed to us in the foolishness of the cross, which is ironically the very wisdom of God for our salvation. Now let's turn to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to kind of take little snippets out of each chapter that look at these different character traits as they talk about wisdom. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. Solomon writes, "For the Lord gives us wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech." You see, wisdom is a gift from God. You cannot get wisdom from anywhere other than from God Himself. James 1:5 tells us, if any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you truly seek wisdom, church, you are going to end up in the presence of God, asking Him to give it generously to you. He is the fountain from which all wisdom flows. He is the source of all wisdom. And if you are truly seeking to be wise, it is because God, through the Holy Spirit, is leading you to do so and leading you along the path towards Himself. So the first thing that you need to do when you desire wisdom is to pray. Is to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, lead me to the path of all wisdom. Show me the insights that you have." And when you come to God and you pray that prayer, the second thing that you need to do is you need to have a desire to glorify your God in your seeking of wisdom. You see, wisdom is not just reduced down to some body of information or even principles that we need to observe. Wisdom is about giving God glory. The desire to glorify God is at the essence and the heart of seeking wisdom. It is the magnet that draws forth wisdom from our hearts, because God gives wisdom to those who seek to glorify Him. I love what Jonathan Edwards wrote. He said, "A truly humble man is sensible of his natural distance from God, of his dependence on Him, of the insufficiency of his power and wisdom. And that is by God's power that he is upheld and provided for, and that he needs God's wisdom to lead and guide him, and His might to enable him to do what he ought to do for him." You see, we see this example lived out perfectly in the life of Solomon, right? If you turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, there was this moment in Solomon's life where he asked the Lord for this gift of wisdom. But I want to point a few things out as we do so. So look with me at 1 Kings chapter 3. You can turn to the left in your Bible, and we're going to see a story of when Solomon was a little child and the Lord gave him this incredible gift of wisdom. 1 Kings 3, verses 3 through 12 says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was a great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. And at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, and God said, ask what I shall give you. The Lord is opening the doors for Solomon to have a gift from God himself. He could ask for anything he wanted. And Solomon says to the Lord, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on the throne this day. And now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. You see, Solomon, we're told, loved the Lord, and he desired to glorify God in the way that he governed and led God's people. That was his heart's desire. His motivations weren't selfish. They were to serve the Lord and to care for God's people. And for us today, church, the key is coming to God through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and asking him to impart to us that wisdom so that we could love him more and serve his people more completely. It's in Christ alone, church, that we find the knowledge and the wisdom that we need to serve others. And then if we move on into Proverbs chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, we see how wisdom enriches your life. We see the benefits of a life filled with the wisdom of God, how it frees you from anxiety and fear, how it helps you give you a life filled with righteousness, justice, and equity, how it brings you discretion and understanding to protect you from the evil purposes of the wicked. The path of wisdom is good because it brings you to a place of peace and contentment and joy found only in Jesus Christ, our source for all wisdom and knowledge. Now let's turn to chapter 3, and I want to look at what Solomon writes here in verses 13 through 18. He says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better gain is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is at her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. You see, here in Proverbs 3, Solomon is giving us a little glimpse at the blessings and value that wisdom has for our lives. Long life, discernment for healthy living, riches and honor, making wise decisions with our money, learning not to waste money on things that don't satisfy, recognition and respect from our neighbors and our communities. These are just a few of the blessings listed throughout Proverbs chapter 3. And Solomon's really reminding us that wisdom in and of itself leads us to a life of pleasantness. That sounds good, right? We experience things that are good for the soul, uplifting for our spirit, and helpful to our body and to our mind. We walk with wisdom along the path of peace, and wisdom gives us an abundant life full of rich memories. Sounds pretty good. We should all desire to have the wisdom of God in our lives. But can I tell you, church, the true value of wisdom is not the benefits that we receive on this earth. It's that the true benefit of wisdom leads us to the God who brings us into eternal life with Him. Wisdom gives us the eyes that we need to see Jesus Christ as He truly is and to embrace Him, to follow the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit towards all truth. Through the blessing of wisdom, we are filled with everlasting peace because in Christ we have been reconciled to God. And that is truly the greatest benefit and heart for wisdom in our lives. And then look again at verse 18. I just want to point out one thing to you that was pretty interesting here. Because Solomon says that wisdom is a tree of life. And it's interesting that he uses this particular phrase, right? Because we all know that the tree of life was a tree that was planted in the Garden of Eden at the beginning of creation. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says that they had to be cast out of the garden so that they wouldn't eat of the fruit of the tree of life and then be condemned in their state as sinful people for all eternity. Listen to what he says in Genesis chapter 3, 22 through 24. He says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work from the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." You see, church, ever since that time, humanity has desired to restore what was lost when Adam and Eve sinned and they broke God's law by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there in the garden. We see this desire in humanity as we strive to extend the lifespan of humankind. Or when we search for salvation in other religions or in other places besides in Christ. We have this desire as humans because when we don't know Christ, we know that something is still wrong. We know that this earth was not the way it's supposed to be. That God didn't intend it to be broken, filled with suffering and just a big righteous mess. God didn't intend that, and everyone in their heart knows that something here is wrong. But you see, the fall of Adam and Eve occurred because they ignored the Lord's wisdom. They looked for truth where God told them not to look. And wisdom is compared to the tree of life here in Proverbs chapter 3, because those who hear and trust in God's wisdom, who is Jesus Christ himself, will be granted to eat of that tree of life in eternity. Right? Because there's another place in Scripture that we're told about this tree of life. And that's in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible. Verses 1 and 2 tell us that then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see, when we were outside the covenant of God, when we had broken relationship with Him, and we had no hope in this world, and we were not eating of the divine wisdom of the tree of life, the Holy Spirit, through our faith, transforms us. And then we are able to enjoy the riches of Christ and live according to the wisdom of His Word. Adam and Eve rejected God's wisdom in Eden. But in God's grace, He has made a way for us to feast on the treasures of Christ so that we might eat of the tree of life for all of eternity. Right? That it would sustain us in heaven with our God. All who trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation are offered this wisdom of God's word that brings us eternal life. And we have a responsibility to let others know that they too can find this wisdom. They simply have to go to their God and ask. May each one of us treasure the wisdom of God, treasure our relationship with Christ Jesus so much so that it causes us to share the truth of the gospel with those who have yet to see the incredible riches, the incredible blessings that are found only in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray together, church. God, you are all wise, all knowing. From you all wisdom comes. And so, Lord, we confess that we often look for wisdom and truth in places that aren't of you. Lord, heal our hearts, heal our minds, and show us that true wisdom is only found in you, found in your word, found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And give us the confidence to ask you to go before your throne and say, Lord, we don't have this wisdom, we need it. We want to live in eternity with you. We want to glorify your name. We want to serve others. Give us the wisdom from on high. Lord, and may we take that wisdom and use it to proclaim the marvelous and glorious name of Jesus, to bring people into His kingdom. And Lord, when the wisdom of the world looks at us and shouts at us and tells us there's another way, Lord, help us to stand firm on your word. Help us to stand firm on the truth of who you are, not wavering, but steadfast, because we know with all confidence that you are a God who is wise and who loves to bestow that wisdom on your children. We love you today, Heavenly Father. We love you, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We love you, Holy Spirit, our guide. Help us today, Lord, to be more like you and to not only just hear this truth, but to live it out day by day as we become more like Jesus. And it's in His precious name we pray. Amen. It's sweaty in here. What's that?